This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
No sleep till!
Junkies, flunkies, misfits, and their siblings, which is our siblings. Welcome to this week's episode of the PTB Weekend Special here on the Place to Be Wrestling Network. I am Scott Criscolo with the Doctor, Dr. G, George Blina.
Yo, what up?
What's going on? Okay. So.
That's it. We're going. See you later. Done. Bye.
See you later. Bye. Welcome to the show, everybody. This week we will recap the final part of Hot Times, part 5 of the Power series of Power. And these are a couple of the big matches on the show. We do now have officially a new national heavyweight champion. We'll see who that is in a moment. And EC3 defending the World's Heavyweight Championship against Thrillbilly Silas. And then we got some news on shows coming up, which is a pretty big deal, including one of them on my birthday, which is pretty awesome, I'd like to think. And then we will chat about this past Thursday's episode of Impact from TNA. Of course, it was the first Impact out of Under Siege. It was a big night for the system. They all have gold now. Of course, Moose is the heavyweight champion. Brian Myers and Eddie Edwards are the tag team champions. And Alicia Edwards is one half of the Knockout tag team champions. So that's pretty cool. So we'll talk about that as well. And anything else that strikes our fancy. I'm trying to think. Did we talk about... we did talk about Mania in Vegas, right? Yeah, we did. Okay. So anyway, I have some Mania news. There was a big rumor that surfaced this week that I think was debunked involving WrestleMania 43, which is not until 2027. There was a big rumor about that year at the moment. So anyway, let's get started. So... this past Tuesday in Dothan at Hot Times. I'm still trying to find where Jennifer Smith was sitting. I know she was wearing a pink NWA t-shirt. I saw a few people with pink t-shirts and brunette hair, but I couldn't tell if it was actually her or not. I think she told me where she was sitting. I probably did. There probably was a camera shot or two of her over these past five parts. So in any event, there were three matches this past Tuesday. One of them, Doctor... we actually had a crossover of NWA and TNA, didn't we?
We did.
We did. There was a no disqualification match between Brian Idol and AJ Francis, former Top Dollar in WWE. And, of course, he is in TNA right now. He's a heel with his boy, Rich Swann, who won at Under Siege over Joe Hendry. He defeated Brian Idol in a no disqualification match in 705, which was kind of fun. It was pretty cool. Then the four-way, and I wish this match was longer. I don't know why they didn't let this match go longer. See, this was one bad booking decision by Billy, and this match should have been longer. We had the four-way for the national heavyweight title between Zion, Burchill, Blake Troop, and Tom Latimer. I don't want to say this was a foregone conclusion, but it might have been a foregone conclusion. 5 minutes and 20 seconds was the match. I feel like for a four-way at a show you were kind of treating like an extended paper. What's that?
It was kind of short. The funny thing is it seemed like the AJ Francis match was longer.
It was. The AJ Francis match was 7:05, and that was... yeah, that was crazy in 7:05. but the four-way was only 520. I was expecting at least to be double that. Anyway, in fact, I thought the world title match should have been longer too, but that wasn't. And as expected, another step on the ladder for this guy. No surprise here, Doctor. Your new NWA National Heavyweight Champion is indeed Tom Latimer. No surprise there.
The new Natty Champ.
Yep, new Natty Champ. And I think eventually, I think he will eventually become
the world's heavyweight champion.
The world's heavyweight champion. Yeah, I do think that. Whether it's at NWA 76 or not, I don't know. I have a feeling we may wait on that. Because, I mean, I think he needs to be national heavyweight champion. Because, I mean, NWA 76, last weekend of August in Philly, is, you know, what? May, June, July. I mean, it's almost 4 months away, but I don't know. Is that enough time, do you think, Doctor, to build him? Or do you think he's a guy that could be put into that slot and already be, like, over to face EC3? Obviously, they're already built feud because they've been, you know, back and forth for a couple of years now. In fact, Latimer cashed in his TV title, his Lucky 7. Actually, EC3 kind of bullied him, too.
I'm mixed with the whole cashing in the belt because it feels like that the championship. I know it does mean something because at least they get a championship shot, but you're constantly filling the, you know, trying to get somebody to be the new champ.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about that either. I'd rather you just lose to somebody than keep using it as a cash in. You might as well, you know, like kind of like Cena. Cena won the tournament. They did a tournament in 2005 because obviously Batista won the Rumble to face Triple H at WrestleMania 21. The reason I'm using this example, Cena won a tournament on Raw that concluded at that year's No Way Out 05. I think he beat Kurt to face JBL for the WWE title at WrestleMania. And in that stretch, because Cena was the United States champion, and in that build, he dropped the title to Orlando Jordan, who was, you know, JBL's guy. So I don't know why you just don't kind of, you know, do a storyline hook like that and have him drop the national title to, you know, somebody in a match instead of constantly having. Now it's like, I know you know that I love tournaments and I love putting tournaments over, but there is only so much to do. There's only so many tournaments you can do before it starts getting stupid. And I get the Lucky 7 thing with the TV title, but they don't have to do that with every single person that fucking wins it. Like, I'm not going to give Max the Impaler a World's Heavyweight title shot. I'm sorry, I'm not.
I agree.
So, Max will eventually win the Women's title, but my point is, you don't have to keep cashing the thing in like a chip. Because the National Heavyweight title was never meant to be that way. It was the TV title, not the national title. National title is like the Intercontinental title. It's kind of an unwritten thing that you're like the number two guy kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? But you don't have to keep cashing the belt in like a chip. Because then you got to keep having these four ways or keep having tournaments. And after a while, it does get a little stale. You could just have the guy lose. You could give him a title shot while he's still champion and then, you know, come up with a, you know, that's what you get paid to do is be creative. And come up with a mini storyline within the big storyline to have that person lose the national heavyweight title. So if they do decide that they're going to have EC3 and Tom Latimer August 31st in Philly, instead of I'm cashing in the national title, just have them lose to somebody. Have EC3 cost them the national title against some heel, you know? That's what your job is to create, not to use hooks, not to use crutches. And too many tournaments is a crutch. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
I love tournaments. I know you're not a big tournaments fan. I love tournaments. When you need them for specific, you know, when you need them every couple of years. But not as a hook, you know, to make something. That's, you know, every 6 months. And now you're doing it with two belts. You're doing it with the TV title and the national heavyweight title. That's stupid. It makes no sense. I know they used to do it a lot in Crockett, because where I'm watching in my timeline, I'm actually at the end of 88, but they did the Midnight Express beat Ole and Arn and Tully for the World Tag Team titles because they were leaving. They were obviously they were going to the WWF to become the Brainbusters, but the Midnight Express were already United States Tag Team Champions, so they just dropped those belts. That went to a tournament, which was eventually won by the Fantastics, and then they lost at Starrcade to the Varsity Club, Kevin Sullivan and Dr. Death. So, anyway, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, you don't need to keep doing tournaments every fucking 6 months. Now you're going to have two belts you're going to cash in. You're just going to cash everything in so you can have the belt. That's stupid. Makes no sense. They did the same thing almost with the U.S. Tag Team titles. We're cashing these in so we could have a world title shot. What the fuck are you doing? This isn't Money in the Bank. You know what I'm saying? Silly. But in any event, congratulations. Tom Latimer continues his resume of one of the more exemplary NWA wrestlers of the Lightning One era. He has won the tag team title. He has won the television title. And now he is your national heavyweight champion. That's pretty cool. Then the main event, which I thought was a pretty fun match. The NWA World's Heavyweight Championship, speaking of the national title, the guy that was national champion but, quote, cashed it in, Thrillbilly Silas took on the Overman EC3. And that was a good match. It went 12:49. I was kind of hoping to go a little longer. But maybe 12:49 was enough for them, for somebody like Thrillbilly Silas. And EC3 ended up picking up the victory, so he is still your World's Heavyweight Champion. Solid match. What did you think? You think 12:49 was about right for the pacing and how the match was going?
Yeah. I mean, it is, man, maybe a little longer, but it was okay. I was fine with it. I mean, that's what the four-way should have been, but
right. I definitely would have given the four-way like another like 10 minutes. I understand that they had to cut it up for TV time, but you could have figured that out another way. That's your job. And making that 5:20, I thought was kind of criminal. But the world title match was 12:49. EC3 defeats Thrillbilly Silas to retain Sweet Charlotte, the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. I do think he's going to keep it until NWA 76. We'll see who he faces in that stretch. So there you go. That was part five of Hard Times, the five parts of Power. They did do some tapings a couple of weeks ago in Tampa, so coming up this Tuesday on the CW app, we'll have a fresh episode of Power, and we'll see where we go from here. Of course, we have the Crockett Cup coming up next weekend, next month. Is it June 18th? No, it's May 18th, right? I'm brain farting. What am I doing? It's next week. It's next week. As we're recording, Doctor, there were two shows, if you're listening to this on Sunday morning, last night there were two shows, NWA shows, kind of extended into their territories that they're creating, which I think is pretty cool. Exodus Pro, that's EC3's territory in Cleveland, they wrestled last night. It was called For the Fame, Exodus Pros For the Fame. We obviously don't have any results for you, but maybe we do. Let me check. Well, let's see. Let me check. I'm checking to see. Probably not. I'm sure. I'm looking on a cage match right now. I don't think anything was posted yet. So, no, I don't see it. Yeah, Exodus Pro. Kicking off the summer schedule with their For the Fame. Fame comes and goes. Champions live forever. The first ever NWA Midwest champion will be determined. Two of wrestling's brightest young stars take the main event stage. Red hot favorite Fanny Pack Kid Cal Hero faces dominant The Conqueror Dante Casanova. I love that name. Think I should walk around with that? Maybe that'll be. I know we always try to come up with a cool hotel name. Maybe my hotel name will be Dante Casanova. What do you think?
There you go.
History will remember only one as the first NWA Midwest champion. Our World's Heavyweight Champion, EC3, teams with Carson Drake and the Ultra Star Ashton Day, and most marketable Richard Holiday to face Carson Drake and the Slimeballs, and La Princesa Tiffany Nieves defends her Mission Pro title in an open challenge, plus much more. I'm looking at the poster, and you know who's going to be there? What's his name? I can't think of his name. Crap. He was the rapper guy. He was in WWE. He had the hair. He was with, shit. I have to look it up now. I'm looking right at his face and I totally blanked out.
While you're looking that up, did you see that in the JCP, Joe Kazana Promotions, part of the NWO, that Kylie Page won the NWA JCP Women's Championship?
Oh, there you go. Oh, he was Big Cass with Enzo. Duh, Enzo Amore. That's what I was thinking of. He's on this poster that was on last night's Exodus Pro for the fame. So Enzo.
Oh, I forgot about him.
Yeah, me too. Also last night, down in Bayamon in Puerto Rico, was WWC Honor versus Traición. And other members of the NWA were there. Looks like our boys, the Southern Six, were there. Natalia Markova. Speaking of Kenzie Page, our women's champion, she was there. Chris Masters. Bunch of masked dudes. So big crowd there. We pay homage to the illustrious history of the World Wrestling Council, the last standing NWA territory before the Lightning One era, and a beacon of wrestling excellence that's captivated the hearts of fans across generations in Puerto Rico. From its inception in 1973 to its relentless pursuit of wrestling greatness, WWC has been more than a promotion. It's a cultural phenomenon that defined an era and inspired millions. Puerto Rico's wrestling legacy collides head-on with NWA's global supremacy, bringing together a star-studded lineup of wrestling titans for a once-in-a-lifetime showdown. Witness the unstoppable force of NWA's elite talents. Scheduled to appear, World Women's Champion Kenzie Page, Tom Latimer, now our national champion, Brian Idol, Natalia Markova, Throwbilly Silas, Kerry Morton, as they blaze a trail of glory in the heart of Puerto Rico. So that was also last night. So NWA was split in half. Talent was in Cleveland, and some talent was in Bayamon.
He definitely is creating some kind of system, the old school system again, because there's a lot going on. And then the Adventures in Carneyland, his Billy Corgan's reality show, starts on the 14th.
I can't believe Carneyland is still a thing.
But that'll be interesting to see some of the behind the scenes of what went on with the NWA.
Mm-hmm. That should be interesting.
And then, everybody thought it wouldn't really work, but he's kind of creating a territory system. I mean,
he is.
It's interesting. That NWA name is out there. And we saw, and every time we turn around, it seems like there's a new territory joining on. Because now, what do we got? Chicago, you have JCP, you have Exodus Pro. They're doing stuff with Puerto Rico. What other stuff?
Well, we're going to keep going because there's more shows to talk about. Of course, next Saturday, the 18th, is the Crockett Cup, which will be down in Forney, Texas. It doesn't say I have to say this, Doctor. It doesn't say that it's a power. Like, here's what it says. The National Wrestling Alliance Crockett Cup comes to Texas for the first time ever. On May 18th, the OC Theater in Forney hosts the legendary tag team tournament, featuring all the top stars of the NWA and turning the spotlight to some of the greatest tag teams in professional wrestling today. The 2024 Crockett Cup continues the tradition started, of course, in 1986. In addition to the incredible tag team action inherent to the Crockett Cup, all NWA championships are expected to be defended. Specific talent and legends announcements to come. Buy tickets now. So that's in the next week. That's this coming Saturday, the 18th. It doesn't say it's a power thing. So it may be a one-show thing, or maybe at least two parts. We'll see. It's not, because now that I look back, Hard Times was branded a power event or whatever. This is not. So we'll see how they do it. Now, here's the big one that's coming up. It's actually on my birthday, Saturday, June 1st. It's an NWA signature live event. Now, this says Power Presents. So this will be probably cut up into multiple episodes. Back to the territories. Knoxville, Tennessee, Carnes High School. It's a high school. It won't make it look like it, of course. This is a rare opportunity to see your favorite stars from every National Wrestling Alliance territory under one roof. So this thing's going to be loaded. NWA Power presents Back to the Territories on Saturday, June 1st at Knoxville's Carnes High School. This NWA signature event gathers stars from the official territories Exodus Pro, Chicago, and Southeast. Southeast is Joe Kazana. Also on hand are representatives from NWA affiliate organizations Fight the World, Crossfire Wrestling, and World League Wrestling, which was started by the legendary, of course, Harley Race. Harley. Tennessee is certain to be an unforgettable evening of pro wrestling action. There's the address. Doors open at 6, bell time 7. Partial proceeds present the Carnes High School football team. Yeah! That's what I'm talking about. Tickets are $20 ringside. Really? Shit. And $10 general admission. Happy birthday to me. Student tickets are only $7. Think I'd look like the one of the linebackers? Probably not. But, Doctor, what else is going to happen on that night?
Big time stunt title.
Yep. Another title. What is that title?
The NWA Mid-America Heavyweight Championship. That was the championship defended in the, what they wind up calling Continental Wrestling Association, you know, before the Jarretts took over, Jarretts and Lawler took over. Nick Gulas ran that territory. And that championship's been held by, I think the first champion was Buddy Rogers, Harley Race held it, Jeff Jarrett held it, Jerry Lawler, Dutch Mantel, I think, held it a record 13 times. So I think it's going to be a championship that'll probably be defended on all the various shows in those areas. Cause I think the belt covers like Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, like Kentucky, Mississippi, Tennessee.
Looking at the wiki, the NWA Mid-America Heavyweight Championship, you're right pretty much on almost all everything you said, defended in the U.S. states. This is the original one, not the current one. That one was specifically for Tennessee and Alabama. The title began in 1957 and lasted first until 1980 when it was first abandoned when Jerry Jarrett took over the Mid-American titles from Nick Gulas. Jarrett revived it in 1981, making it part of Continental, lasted until 87 when it was unified with the newly created CWA Heavyweight Championship. So the first, as you said, May 1957, Buddy Rogers won it. Then there's like a bunch of unrecorded history, but Mighty Atlas, Tori Yamada, Len Rossi, Tony Charles, and then it's a little, by 1972, it got a little more full in terms of the, there's still some holes in the gap, but you had Don Kent, Jackie Fargo, Lou Graham, Harley Race won it in 75, Magnificent Zulu, Jackie Fargo? Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. Dick Steinborn, Bill Dundee, Bob Armstrong, Bullet Bob, Big Bad John, Tommy Rich, the Russian Stomper, Ken Lucas, Lanny Poffo, his brother. Do you remember his brother? Lanny Poffo's brother. Did he ever do anything in wrestling? I don't remember.
Yeah. Smooth Macho. Yeah.
Dig it. Yes, Macho Man won this title on January. He won it a couple times, but the first time he won it was January 3rd, 1978 in Chattanooga. Don Garfield, Dirty Dutch, Whipper Watson Jr. Oh, wow, there's a guy named Blue Yankee. Must have been a heel.
Yeah.
Well, it was in Tennessee. Mexican Angel, Bobby Eaton, Chris Colt. Oh, Chris Colt? He actually won a belt? That's the Chris Colt that was on the... Yeah, Chris Colt, the one that was on the Dark Side of the Ring, the crazy one that was in the porn. He won the title on April 29th, 1979. He won it again later in the year. Tojo Yamamoto, Steve Travis. I remember Steve Travis. I remember him in the WWF. Rocky Johnson, Great Togo, Robert Gibson. That was up until 1980. And then when Memphis took it over, you had the usual guys, Steve Kern, Bugsy McGraw, King Cobra, Jesse Barr. That's your boy, Jesse Barr. Right? Wasn't he a Florida guy? Wasn't he a Florida guy?
He was. Then he
was a fucking asshole. He was a fucking asshole. He got the Rockers fired. What a dick. Jacques Rougeau won the title in late 82. Sweet Brown Sugar, Stagger Lee. Was Stagger Lee actually Junkyard Dog?
Stagger Lee.
No, that Stagger Lee. I just put the cursor over the name. That Stagger Lee in March of 83 was actually Coco Beware. Terry Taylor, of course, Terry Taylor won everything. Jimmy Valiant, Man Mountain Link. Coco Beware won it a few more. Harley won it in October of 85 again. Tracy Smothers, Big Bubba, Kabuki, Moondog Spot, Jeff Jarrett, of course, obviously. Carl Fergie. Isn't he Billy Joel? Isn't he Billy's trumpet guy?
No.
Carl Fergie?
Carl
that's Carl Fisher. Sorry, it's Carl Fisher.
The drummer is Chuck Fergie.
Oh, Chuck Fergie, Carl Fisher. Yeah, whatever.
Chuck Fergie.
Jerry Lawler was the last champion, December 7th, 1987. And then on December 14th, 1988, it merged with the AWA International Heavyweight Championship and the AWA Southern Heavyweight Championship to form the CWA World Heavyweight Championship, which, of course, Jerry Lawler won 466 times. So, like every other fucking belt he won. So anyway, back to the territory, Saturday, June 1st in Knoxville for NWA. And then, of course, the next big show after that is, of course, NWA 76, Saturday, August 31st in Philly. So looking forward to that. We'll be there. And then, of course, they're already booked Dolphin again on December 14th for Looks to Kill. It's a Saturday. That should be fun. So there you go. There's your upcoming NWA live events. Maybe something in your area locally. Maybe you're in the Knoxville area in early June. Never know. Could be fun.
I'm interested to see how they put this all together.
I agree. And I got all these. I'm glad they did the show in Puerto Rico. That's actually kind of cool. Hopefully it was bloody like usually Puerto Rico shows. That WWC, that World Wrestling Council, like Carlos Colon, that's right up your alley. Fucking blood and Abdullah, the fucking forks in the forehead and staples and shit. That's like all in your wheelhouse. Fucking weapons.
Not an easy place to wrestle, though.
Oh, Seth Bruiser Brody. Oof, sad. That one's one of the most legit tragedies for me. Did they do a Bruiser Brody? They did. Why? Did they do a dark side of for him? Maybe it was like the first season, I think. They did a dark side of the ring of Bruiser Brody. I think they did. Anyway. All right. So this past Tuesday's episode of Impact took place in Albany at the Armory the next day after Under Siege. Here were your matches. Speaking of AJ Francis, their first class, that's their team. They beat the FBI, Ray Jazz and Zach Clayton with Guido in 334. In a Albany Tornado Tag Team match. It had to be an Albany one. Not just a Tornado Tag, an Albany Tornado Tag. The Rascals defeated Cody Deaner and Jake Something in 954. Jonathan Gresham, trying to keep this new octopus gimmick thing going, defeated Will Ferrara in 331. Speedball Mountain defeated ABC in 1659. That was actually a great match. I love Speedball Mountain, obviously, Mike Bailey and Trent Seven. I think they're going to be the ones that eventually beat the system. However, I did see that Mike Bailey, his TNA deal is coming up later this year. We'll see if he's sticks with TNA or if he gets a sniff. That's a guy I don't see going to WWE. That's an AEW guy. Totally. I totally think that. So
there.
Maybe we'll go to WWE. Who knows? Anyway. And then of course, the main segment this past Thursday was the system, speaking of Moose, Brian Myers, Eddie Edwards, and his wife Alicia celebrating all their championships. And that, of course, got broken up by Nick Nemeth and Speedball Mountain and Matt Hardy. And so that is continuing. I'm wondering if their next big show is coming up Friday night, June 14th. It's Against All Odds. That show will be in Cicero, Illinois. I'm trying to see if they've already booked if they've already booked any matches yet for that. Let's see. No matches yet. June 14th, Cicero Stadium in Cicero, Illinois. And that'll be the last. And then that's the next. That'll be on TNA Plus. And then the next pay-per-view will be coming up in July in Montreal. That is, of course, Slammiversary. That's a pay-per-view. That one you have to pay for. Extra. Pay extra for if you already have TNA Plus. You have to pay extra for that. Then they'll do a couple of shows. Then they'll do a couple of shows. They'll do a show in August. They'll do a show in September. And then October will be Bound for Glory. So, good episode of Impact this week. We'll keep an eye on it. Of course, we're, you know, plenty of, God, almost 6 weeks out before Against All Odds. So Impact's got plenty of time to put some stuff together, see if Moose will defend the title again. He had defended the title on every show until Under Siege, and that was fine. Under Siege was kind of an in-between show anyway. It was only 2 weeks after Rebellion. So, by the way, if you have watched Under Siege and Backlash, WWE Backlash France, check out our reaction special that dropped earlier in the week. Dr. G and I, we gave our reaction comments on TNA Rebellion and on WWE Backlash France. So check that out. That dropped earlier in the week. And we look ahead to Against All Odds. So, while we're on the subject of big shows and such, I wanted to read some news stories to you, Doctor, while we have on the back end of our show this week. From my my good friends at Cultaholic Wrestling over in the UK. I always follow them. They're good guys. Let's see. I had a story here I wanted to... of course, we all know, if you watched SmackDown over the weekend, Cody Rhodes will be defending the WWE Undisputed title at Queen and King of the King and Queen of the Ring against Logan Paul. That'll be a good warm-over show. Jerry Lawler is no longer on the active roster page. He is now in the Hall of Fame section, but we'll see if he sticks around as a legend. Legends. Let's see. SmackDown will remain on Fridays following the move to USA. That was a new thing. People were wondering about that. Remember, it was on Tuesdays the last time. So, any thoughts on that? I guess it's fine to stay on Friday. Of course, the other news that came out, Doctor. Raw will be on USA through the end of the year. They had to fill the fourth quarter because they had a stopgap. So... Raw and SmackDown Raw, SmackDown, and NXT will all be on USA for a very brief time before NXT heads to CW. Of course, Raw will be going to Netflix in January, and CW and SmackDown will obviously be going from Fox to USA. And with that SmackDown move, WWE will be producing 4 primetime specials for NBC. So maybe we'll be getting Saturday Night's Main Event back or something, you know.
That'd be cool.
It should be interesting, yeah. I was talking earlier about WrestleMania and big shows. Of course, the announcement, if you obviously don't know already, we talked about it last week on the reaction show. WrestleMania 41 in 2025 is official. It will be at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas next April 19th and 20th, which is Easter. We went on a whole talk about that. Speaking of WrestleMania, a news story popped up this week that was kind of a glorified rumor. WWE WrestleMania 43 is unlikely to emanate from Ford Field in Detroit. Claims on social media citing an unnamed local radio station in Detroit suggested the Detroit Sports Commission was in the process of readying a proposal to host WrestleMania 43 at Ford Field. It would be the 40th anniversary of WrestleMania 3 and the 20th anniversary of WrestleMania 23. WrestleMania 3, of course, was in Pontiac, and WrestleMania 23 in 2007 was at Ford Field. The Detroit Sports Commission has since told the Detroit News, however, they are not preparing a bid to host WrestleMania in 2027. Contrary to recent speculation, the DSC is not currently in the process of preparing a bid to host WrestleMania in 2027. However, we remain enthusiastic about the prospect of hosting future major WWE events. The Detroit Sports Commission values its strong relationship with WWE and is proud to have hosted some of their premier events across the Metro Detroit region. The DSC consistently evaluates opportunities and actively pursues bids for potential future events, leveraging our longstanding relationships with national governing bodies, sanctioning bodies, and event owners. We look forward to continuing our successful partnership with WWE and welcoming more thrilling events to our vibrant city in the years to come. The Detroit Sports Commission recently worked with WWE, of course, last August 2023. Of course, SummerSlam was at Ford Field. I was there. Great show. Ford Field's a great building. I'd like to see WrestleMania in Detroit. I think it'd be a great city for it. There's plenty of places for...
I'm thinking of putting Tennessee in 2027, I thought.
Well, that's the other rumor. It's not in this article, but it has been strongly rumored that because it said back in May of last year, 2023, Titans president and CEO Burke Nihil stated that WWE is already committed to WrestleMania 43 in Nashville because the Titans' new stadium will be ready. So that's. Going back a few months, and we talked about this, Doctor, in many episodes back, the original rumored thought was WrestleMania 41 was supposed to be Minneapolis, WrestleMania 42 in 2026 was supposed to be Vegas, and WrestleMania 43 in 2027 was going to be in Nashville. Obviously, now it's going to be in Vegas next year. So now... before we even look ahead to 2027, we need a WrestleMania in 2026 in somewhere, WrestleMania 42. With that opening, I'm going to think it's either going to be a Midwest one. Maybe they go back to Dallas. Maybe they go back to AT&T. Or they go to Phoenix. Or maybe they go back to SoFi, West Coast. And then WrestleMania 43 will be back on the east side, southeast, where Nashville is. We'll see. So right now it seems like WrestleMania 42 in 2026 is the one that's kind of in limbo.
I think you're going to have a hard time getting it back in the northeast again.
I think so too, unless there's a roof. Because it was pretty chilly for Saturday. Sunday was a little better, but Saturday was pretty chilly. But we'll see. But of course, obviously SummerSlam last year was in Detroit. This year, SummerSlam will be August 3rd in Cleveland at the Brown Stadium. You and I will be there, Brown Stadium, but about 6 weeks later for something else, non-wrestling. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I think Vegas for Mania will be fun. Be fun. But... So anyway, that was a story I wanted to ask you about. What your thoughts on that? I think Detroit was a great city. I thought they did a great job with SummerSlam, and I think they would be eventually. I think it would be great for a WrestleMania sometime down the line. So that's pretty much it. Pretty quiet weekend for wrestling. Like I said, NWA had a show tonight, but nothing big this weekend. Next weekend, of course, is the Crockett Cup, and we'll see what the scoop is on that. And we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. No show next week. There is no show next this coming weekend. We both have family obligations out of state, so no show next week. No show next week. We'll be back Memorial Day weekend. And we will have a Memorial Day weekend show, and we'll talk about a little King and Queen of the Ring. Of course, that'll be that Saturday afternoon in Saudi Arabia. And that night, what is it, Sunday the 26th, AEW will, of course, have Double or Nothing in Vegas. Swerve Strickland's defending the title against Christian Cage. Mercedes Moné will probably beat... Willow Nightingale for the TBS title, which kind of sucks. I like Willow Nightingale. Anyway, so just a reminder, no weekend special next Sunday. We'll be back in 2 weeks, Memorial Day weekend.
Don't miss us too much now.
I know you do, and we appreciate the love. We do. We have a great week coming up here on the PTB Wrestling Network. We'll have a new episode of Through the Looking Glass, Dave Hall and I. If you're listening to this on Sunday and you haven't voted yet, go to the Place to Be Facebook page and vote on which May show you would like Greg Diener and I to do for the May episode of Wrestle Tracks. Your choices are TNA Hard Justice 2005, WWE Over the Limit 2012, and the first official NXT TakeOver, which was May of 2014. There were shows before that, remember, Arrival, or Evolution, like all that stuff. But the actual first show that was called TakeOver was in May of 2014. So that's a choice as well. And then keep an eye on the Facebook page towards the end of the month, because you will see a post where you, our loyal listeners, can choose what June show you'd like us to put on the June ballot. You're not voting for what show Greg and I are going to do, but we're doing a listener's choice month in terms of you guys build the ballot for us. Give us a historically great show that you think that has happened in the month of June in history and give it to us as a suggestion. The only two prerequisites are, obviously, it had to take place in the month of June, and it has to be something that we probably could find. So, yeah, obviously, if it's something WWE, WCW, or ECW, would be on Peacock. New Japan World. We do have the ability to get Ring of Honor. We do have the ability to watch TNA. So, classic TNA. So, anything that's feasible, that has happened, a show that's happened in history in the month of June, it could be anything. House show, a Raw, or, you know, whatever, Saturday's Main Event, a Nitro, whatever you want to do. It could be anything. Think about it. And it had to have happened in the month of June, and we'll put a thread up on our Facebook page, and then Greg Diener and I will create a ballot from those choices, and then we'll put an official ballot up. And if we like it, if we like how how things work out, and it was, maybe we'll do it for later in the year. We'll do another, listener's choice. Maybe in December, the last Wrestle Tracks of the year, maybe we'll do another listener's choice. We'll see. Anyway, follow our socials. Again, follow all of our – obviously follow the feed on our podcast catchers along with the other feeds, the NoSo, Jenny Position, the which is within the NoSo, and PTB Pop Experience. The new feed that has dropped. We have a new feed. I don't know if you knew this, Doc. We do have a new feed. It's a pretty awesome feed. And it's started by, it's actually another feed of graduates. What happens is we create wonderful podcast talent, and then they want to branch out and do their stuff. And I'm very proud of that. So the Backbone Wrestling Network, that's what it's called. And it's Sean Kidd, Logan Crosland, and Matt Souza. And they are going to provide you a brand new feed of great wrestling stuff. You could check their introductory podcast on the feed. It dropped, when did it drop? It dropped earlier in the week, last Sunday, actually. So to let you know, for our feed purposes, I'll let the NoSo crew tell you their shows that were moved. But that is where Highway to the Impact Zone and YouTube Roulette moved. So they're still in the family. They're just on a different feed now. So if you want to check out the classic episodes of those, we still have them here on our network. But starting next month, the fresh episodes of Highway to the Impact Zone and YouTube Roulette will be on the Backbone Wrestling Network. And any shows those guys did over on the NoSo, they'll be over there as well. So very happy. I'm very proud of Sean and Logan and the Sues. I love all those guys. And who knows? I'm sure I'll cross the quad. And the quad's getting very big, by the way. Now we have to call it something else. The Quint? Is that five? Quintuplet? the five. I'll have to call it the quint. I can't call it the quad anymore. Anyway, happy for those guys. Backbone Wrestling Network. Check it out on all your podcast catchers. Just an extension. We just want to give you as much content as we can, and we try not to overload one feed with a zillion shows. So we're just giving you a nice swath of untapped potential for podcasting content and creative juices. Have a good week, everybody. Have a great 2 weeks. As again, we won't be here next week. So have a great couple of weeks. Enjoy the wrestling. And we'll be back with you Memorial Day weekend. I'm Scott. He's the doctor. You're not.
Ciao.